When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to talk about the importance of seam allowance and then share with you one of ZD's, favorite techniques for dealing with odd shapes.
Yeah, weird seam allowances, let's say.
Weird seam allowances.
How do you deal with weird or unusual seam allowances, right?
Or stitching lines or something.
Whatever.
We have yet to come up. We don't know what to call this, basically.
Yeah. That's true. Like, we had the ham hot. Somebody came up with ham hot for that one technique.
Right. And now we're not sure what to do about this.
Seams. How about seamy?
I don't know. But you'll get
seemingly bizarre.
You'll get it when we talk about it, I think. I hope so. So, seam allowance. We have a little something in the works that we can't talk about yet. But it prompted me to ask in our Facebook group.
You ask a question.
What kinds of seam allowances, what size seam allowances, do you end up adding to a pattern?
Right.
And for those of you who are, like, very new to sewing, you might be like, what are you talking about? My patterns already have seam allowance in them. And what
most of them do. Not all of them.
Not all of them, but most of the patterns, I think, that are available to us do.
So they're either marked on the pattern or they will say on the pattern, you know, this is sewn with a such and such seam allowance.
A 5/8, a 1/2, a da-da-da,
right, quarter inch.
And so I asked this question, and we got a few answers that
we were afraid of.
Yeah, that we were like, oh.
Afraid for people.
Yes,
who were doing
yes.
what they were doing.
So we thought we should clarify what seam allowance is for and how it's used in garment sewing in particular.
Yeah.
So what's the traditional garment sewing seam allowance, Mom?
Well, in the U.S., and I believe in Canada, too. I think Canada takes on the U.S. measurements for some reason in sewing. That's what I've learned recently.
Yeah, they've been saying they kind of are in a weird limbo.
Yeah, because I thought they used the metric system up there, but I guess maybe in everything but sewing. I don't know, or sewing is one of their exceptions. So 5/8 has been the garment, traditional woven garment seam allowance for the U.S.
Yeah, 5/8 of an inch.
Right. And 1.5 centimeters was what, when I started getting, like, I used to get the Berta magazine.
Uh-huh.
When it was in German.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And thank goodness I knew how to sew before I got it, because I couldn't read any of the instructions. But their common seam allowance was 1.5 centimeters.
Yeah. So those are they're the same distance.
It's basically the same.
Yeah, it's very similar. And it's kind of big if you think about it. Like, 5/8 of an inch is a little over a half inch.
A little over a half inch.
It's an eighth over a half inch, you know?
That's right.
And so those of you who are used to centimeters, you know how big 1 centimeter is, you know? So you can look and see. And that's kind of large. But it's really, guys, it's necessary for woven garments. And we got some feedback that people were like, oh, I'll just add a quarter inch for my wovens if I know I don't have to do a lot of fitting. And what's the problem with that, Mom?
Well, for one thing, is if you have any stress if you have any stress at all on that seam, you're talking about only a quarter of an inch of allowance for those fibers to move around. So you're talking about losing your seam, or, you know, your seam sort of almost unweaving in a way. And I don't know how they're finishing those quarter inch seam allowances.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because even if you're using a serger, okay, with a three-thread narrow overlock, like, that's about what that is.
Yeah, you'd have to stitch, like, on the serger.
Yeah, so then you'd have that right up next to your actual seam. And certainly if you're using pinking shears, it would be the size of one of the humps, probably.
Right, right.
I found it bothersome because... And the other, you know, the other thing, too, is it does maintain a shape.
Yeah.
And gives it a stability where, and I mean, you can think about this if you've ever bought a cheapish ready-to-wear something. Sometimes you open it up and the seam allowances are smaller and they won't last.
Right. They'll shred.
Right.
Like, they'll, especially if there's any wear on it. Your fabric is kind of alive.
Exactly.
You know, it flexes.
And another thing is, you need that in order to sew, because sewing a quarter inch, now, okay, quilters, I know you sew a quarter inch all the time, but most of the time you're sewing a straight line.
Yeah.
Okay, and you don't have these weird shapes, and you're not easing something into something else and all of that.
Well, and even when, you know, what was all that at Common Threads with Jenny Doan talking about half square triangles?
Yeah.
She showed that technique where you cut it after you sew it.
That's right.
And that was, once again, to provide that stability.
Because it had a better stability, especially on things like a bias or something.
Yeah.
When you're going across the bias.
And that was what was, you know, right, happening on those. I think a lot of quilters will be familiar with that,
right,
technique.
Well, the other thing about Jenny Doan is she's not real particular on this scant one quarter inch thing or something. She goes, if it's the side of your presser foot and it's a little bit a hair over or a thread under or whatever, and that's what you like and that's what it works, she says, if that's what you like and that's what works, use it. Just be consistent.
Just be consistent. Right. Yeah, I like that. I like that. And, you know, 5/8 of an inch seems a little funny, I think, to us U.S. people, and I think it's because it's a rounder number in metric. It's at 1.5
centimeters.
I would
think probably it started out 1.5, we changed it.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I've never been able to find that history.
No, but when I learned that 5/8 of an inch was 1.5 centimeters, I thought, oh, that's probably where that number came from.
They were doing 1.5, and we had to make it 5/8 over here.
And so I have had people say, oh, you know, I'm just going to add a half-inch seam allowance.
Right.
Okay. Still probably...
It's probably better than nothing.
It's better than a quarter.
And a half inch is the standard generally for home deck.
Uh-huh.
Or something like a bag.
Right,
is generally... but also, a lot of times, those are straight seams also.
Yeah.
They're not curved. They don't get clipped later.
People were talking about how when they set in a sleeve... they feel like that big seam allowance gets in their way. And we need to teach people how to make that your friend.
Yeah, I think we need to make that video.
Really bad. That seam allowance should allow you to be more accurate.
Absolutely.
Actually. And provide that stability. Whereas if you do that with a quarter inch, I mean, you could be going off in the middle of nowhere.
Well, the other thing is, think about the bite between your presser foot and your feed dog. It's not there.
Right.
The more fabric that you have laying flat on your feed dog and under that presser foot, the more control you have over that fabric.
So we have been talking about woven garment.
Right.
Seams. When quilters who are sewing on these, you know, two layers of cotton in this quarter inches, a quilt gets quilted.
Right.
Afterwards.
Which means it's stabilizing its seams again.
Yeah.
And people don't finish quilts because they're staying away from the bulk or adding any bulk, and they want something flat, and basically they want a seam that disappears.
Yeah, they don't finish that seam is what mom's saying. Like the quilt gets finished,
right.
You know, it gets quilted.
But the quilting of the quilt,
right,
is considered finishing the seams also.
And it will help support the fabric, you know. So just keep that in mind if you're like, wait, you know, the quarter. And I even sometimes when I see certain types of children's clothing using a really small seam allowance, I'm like, ooh, be careful.
Right, you still have to be careful.
And they, you know, because there's a lot of wear on that clothing that kid's putting into it.
And if you're talking about looking at the inside of the garment, and I've had people say, oh, well, it looks neater if my seam allowance is smaller. Well, first of all, it'll only look neater for a while because it's not going to last, I'm pretty sure. But think about how you're going to finish them off. My seams look great from the inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think you can sew a 5/8 and then trim it down to a 1/4 inch. That's not a good idea.
And the 5/8 inch seam allowance, speaking of trimming and whatnot, it allows you room for grading if you ever need to do that.
And someone said something like that too. Well, on my collars, I just add a 1/4 inch. And I was like, it doesn't matter. You need that full seam allowance so you can get that entire presser foot on top of that fabric and sew it together. Then you actually want to grade. You don't want that to be the same. You know, you want the layer net. What, the lining is smaller than the, you know, you want the layer next to the fold to be the smaller one.
Right. And when you're okay, when your fabric folds around, like when you turn that collar right side out, some of that gets like taken up in the fold.
That is absolutely right.
Really be careful.
So you can wind up with like 1/8 of an inch in there.
Yeah, be careful.
And we don't finish those seams because they're enclosed. That's another reason a quilter doesn't finish their seams, because they're enclosed.
Right.
So, you know, that collar is not enclosed. And if you've ever had the edge of a collar come out,
yeah,
it's like a nasty thing. It's hard to repair.
Yeah, that. Yes. Well, and you have no more fabric.
Nope. There's nothing to work with.
So the seam allowances, I mean, they're not actually there for fitting.
No, and that's they're not just there. I mean, there's a reason they're the width they are.
Yeah, that's not like, I mean, I'm not saying that they can't be used that way or that that's not great or something, you know, but that's not like the reason seam allowances exist in woven garments. It's not for the 5/8, you know, inch. Now, you can, okay, when you do, though, sew a woven garment together and you go back and you finish those, I do sometimes cut some off of the 5/8 inch off.
I finish my woven garments before I put them together, generally.
Right. But what about, like, the arm's eye?
No, the arm's eye is different.
Right,
and
okay.
I wind up and I have more than one layer of fabric, and I've already stitched my line, and then I'm finishing both of those seams off sandwiched together. So I'm actually, in a sense, almost enclosing that seam also.
And you are getting, you're not serging right next to your stitching line.
No,
you
and I'm also not pressing it open.
No. And so I guess I wanted to say that because I'm thinking about the ginger jeans and how I tell people that I constructed those on the serger with the 5-thread safety stitch.
Right.
And I did trim down a little bit. But still, there was a...
But the seam was together and not open again.
It is still, there's a good amount of fabric in there to handle stress, to handle, you know, movement and things like that. So don't be like, oh, I'm supposed to, you know, I have to leave it all the time. No, you may end up trimming it down, but don't trim it down too much, like Mom said earlier.
Right.
You can't sew it together and then, like, cut the fabric up to your stitching. It's not gonna work out.
It's not gonna serve you, that's for sure.
Okay, so we were just, we do want to say, on your knit garments, you may have a much smaller seam allowance.
That's right.
You may have a 1/4 inch seam allowance.
Right.
Knits work differently than wovens.
You don't have to finish the seams, for one thing.
They don't ravel. Yep.
And oftentimes you're sewing on a serger or an overlock machine.
And the knits in themselves handle stress,
and
right?
And the knits in themselves are a stretchy seam.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that is very different. We definitely know that 1/4 inch seam allowances have their place in garment sewing as well as quilting, you know, but just so you know, you do need that 5/8 or seam allowance.
All I could imagine is someone putting together like this cotton dress with a 1/4 inch seam allowance. And I'm thinking, then how are they going to finish off their seams? And they can't press them open and they're going to wear it and it's going to get a little stress and their seam's going to be gone.
Yeah, well, and it just won't you know, maybe it'll be okay for a few wears.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's take a little message break, and then let's talk about a ZD technique for dealing with oddly shaped pattern pieces or hems or something.
Whatever.
We'll come up with something better for that sometime. Is brought to you by ZD's favorite scissors, the 6-inch comfort handle shears that are on our website. You can go to sewhere.com/shop and check out the scissors in the collection cutting implements. So tell us why you like them so much.
Snip, snip. Well, you know, you said they were 6.5 inches, right?
They're called the 6-inch comfort handle shears. Yeah.
But the blade is only like 2 inches.
That's right.
So most of the room in these scissors is made for your hand. I can get like all four of my fingers in the one handle and a thumb in the other.
Yeah. And they're a little, the word squishy might not be.
Well, they are.
They're flexible.
Very flexible, pliable, or whatever. Now, I have a small hand, so maybe some people are only going to get, you know, 3 fingers. But what I'm trying to get across is the handle is the size of a large pair of scissors.
Right.
Yet the blade is small, easy to get into, really good for those little snips. They're great for even trimming embroidery threads, things like that. They're very light.
A lot of people have said that their rotary cutter and these are what they use in their sewing studio.
It's just about all you need. It really is.
So you can, you know, we cut out all of our patterns with rotary cutter, and then this is what we use for trimming, notching, all that jazz, you know.
Absolutely. The other thing is, they're not left-handed or right-handed.
That's right.
They're ambidextrous.
They're ambidextrous shears.
So you lefties, you know, you can be real happy with a pair of these.
And if you're wondering if anybody actually likes these, you can go to the group, the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group, and just search for ZD's favorite scissors, and you'll be regaled with reviews about people who love them, who got them in their dressmaker's delight box. So once again, go to sewhere.com/shop and check out those 6-inch comfort handle shears. They are ZD's favorite.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back, and during the message break,
we can't think of any.
Like,
we keep trying to think up like a term for this. We can't look it up on the internet because we don't have a name for it.
Yeah, exactly.
If it does exist,
and I know that we're not the first people to come up with this.
I wouldn't think so,
but it is something that seems to blow people's minds on the regular.
Yes,
so
yes,
we will cover it. Let's talk about a specific example of this. What we're talking about is preserving the stability of fabric while stitching basically curves. I mean, it's
a curve or a shape.
So let's talk about a scallop hemline or a scallop. I talked about trying to do a scallop waistband on a circle skirt. What's your process for that?
Well, you do not cut the scallop in.
Okay.
That's it. You don't cut the scallop in. You're going to mark the scallop, whether you mark it on the facing or the lining or facing or whatever you're going to use, or even on the wrong side of your fashion fabric. You will draw in the scallop.
Right.
Do not, and you still don't cut it.
Draw it. No cutting.
You just draw it. And then you wherever the scallop is, you're going to have 2 layers of fabric, and not either one of them is not going to be cut into a scallop, right?
Right.
They're going to have straight edges with a whole lot of, you know, fabric left over on each side. You go to the sewing machine And just like, sort of like how I taught you to sew, we drew lines on fabric and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Or I said, follow the line on this fabric. And you go over to your sewing machine and you have that scallop that you have traced onto there. You have that, those markings, and you stick your needle in it and you sew along those markings.
Right.
Okay. And when I get to what now?
Another hot tip.
Well, where is the peak of the scallop? Is
I don't
it on
know.
The rounded side
or
is it the pointy side?
Okay. I'm not sure what the.
Let's talk about the pointed or the.
The pointy.
Are they more acute angles
that
you're going to run into in sewing?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because like sometimes even on a collar,
yeah.
it's not a right angle, right? It might be like a 30 degree angle.
Yeah, 30, 35, something
right,
like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you go there, most of you have been taught, maybe some of you haven't, so I'm getting you right now. Now you won't ever do it the un-ZD way. So what you do when you get to those acute angles, you don't go to the very point of the stitching and then
pivot.
So when you get to those acute angles or whatever, you go right a few stitches away from them. And then what you actually do is you cross over where the point of that angle is, like two stitches, and then come back. I don't know if that sounds
what
right to everybody.
What I tell people is you cut off the point.
Yes.
You sort of truncate
it. You do not want that extreme point.
You also might make your stitch length shorter while doing this.
Anytime you're doing something like this, I like a stitch length of like 1.5. Because the more points you have, of course, the better line you have. And if you have a curved or angled line, you want more points there.
So if you come up to your acute angle on your scallop, you're not going
to
go all the way
to
into
the
that.
End. Right.
Into that point. You're going to truncate it a little bit and maybe take like two stitches,
so
two
you're
short
two
stitches across.
Short of being to the end of that line.
Uh-huh.
Unless you've drawn it differently where
yeah,
it doesn't have that
there
acute
you go.
Angle. So it would be like a curve comes up and then the line doesn't curve right back down. It comes
it's
up and it
across.
Goes straight over a few stitches. And then it comes back down to that same scallop.
And do make sure to shorten those stitches because you don't want to, I mean, you don't want to like get your scallop off
no.
or something.
Well, and the other thing is the reason you're doing this is so that when you turn it, that fabric has room to turn. Otherwise, it doesn't really have, that's why you see, it'll look like you have a little ball in the end of your collar or a little knot or something, and you try and trim it off and you just can't even trim it off well enough. Even if you're trimming it off at that 45 degree angle or whatever, it's just not good enough because you don't have room to turn it.
Okay, back to our original
seams.
Yes. Okay, so you haven't cut your scallop yet, have you?
Nope,
you're sewing it,
right?
Okay, and you've sewn your whole scalloped hemline.
Yep.
And
got around
now,
it.
Now, after
now,
it's been sewn.
Yes. Now you go back and you're going to trim your seam allowance. To probably on a scallop, you will go down to a quarter inch.
You might go short.
You might even go an eighth to a quarter. The big thing with a scallop, what you're going to do is what, Mallory?
Notch.
Right.
Notch. What's the other? Clip, notch.
Clip or notch. Well, there's two
clip,
things.
Notch.
There's a clip and there's a notch.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
I couldn't remember the other one.
A notch is what you do on an outside curve.
Yes.
And a. What did you call it?
I called it a clip.
A clip. That's what I call
it.
Clipping
okay.
and notching. Yeah.
You're
getting me confused.
I'm having pregnancy brain
you're
right
getting
now. Notch
your
curve.
Can't wait till she's not pregnant
yeah.
anymore. Anyway. So. On an outside curve, you notch because when you fold that back together, that fabric's gonna go on top of itself on each other.
It's like gonna reverse its angle.
Right,
you know?
It'll reverse its angle, and you clip on
like concave inside curves.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. There you go. That is exactly
right.
What you do.
Yes. So you'll see this talked about in patterns, etc. But the big deal here is we sewed our curvy shape before cutting it. We did all that truncating of points and stuff, et cetera, But the big deal was we didn't cut out two scallop-shaped pieces of fabric and then attempt to sew them together.
And have to pin the holy daylights out of it, which is not going to work because it's just going to distort it.
I told this story in the self-sewn wardrobe live broadcast that we did that was it was an episode of this podcast, too, the Cotton Organdy podcast, where I thought I was going to do a scallop waistband, and I tried to do it by cutting the scallops first and doing it. And it was like my scallops all leaned like to the left or something, you know, because I would come around the curve on the sewing machine. It was made of kind of some loosely woven linen. Mm-hmm. So it was a fabric that was already kind of unstable.
Right. Probably kind of slubby. Did it have some, like, every thread was exactly the same that was in it.
Not super regular. Right. And this is, though, a point where the cotton organdy comes in handy. Because when you do something scalloped like that, if it's a heavier fabric on the outside, don't line that with the same heavy fabric.
Right. Use it. Right.
Use cotton organdy, use something like
that. And it will fold more towards the cotton organdy.
It'll be beautiful. It will reduce bulk, won't it?
Absolutely.
Now, we were talking about cotton organdy as an interfacing in our cotton organdy episode, and you spoke about if you have like a chunk of fabric, whether it's the cotton organdy or it's your fashion fabric, and you have a collar to cut out of that or some other oddly shaped item.
Yes.
You will sometimes trace that.
That's correct.
Onto the fabric.
That's correct.
Sew your shape.
That's right.
And then cut it out.
That's right.
Once again, this is you taking advantage of the stability of the fabric.
Of the fabric. And what we're saying is you have this collar and the shape of the fabric is bigger and greater than your seam allowances. It might be a rectangle. It might it might be a square or something. And you trace that pattern onto there and you stitch on that line that you have traced on. And your feed dogs have more control. You have more control. You have less shifting. Especially, something like this, like baby clothes, doll clothes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sewing a doll.
Sewing a doll.
A cloth doll.
Yeah.
Never cut it out.
Yeah.
Trace it on. You cannot cut out those little fingers or those little feet or the little whatever or the little necks.
Fingers on a doll were always the example I used when I was teaching the class how to use your sewing machine.
Yeah.
And I was talking about, you know, making your stitch length shorter for curves, you know. It's like, think about making a doll. The other thing is, we get to shout out Lonnie again.
Lonnie
did some collaboration with somebody, and I can't remember what it is, where they drafted a bunch of pockets.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and so we haven't brought this up yet, but this is the perfect example. Let's say you want to make a pocket on a skirt that's the shape of like an apple.
Yes.
Or a pear.
Yes.
Or like a
moon.
Or
a heart.
Or a heart, you know, or something like that.
A heart has a scallop in it. And it has inside and outside curve and an inside point and an outside point.
Okay.
I used to always, when I taught machine applique, use a heart because it had all the shapes.
So heart. Yes. Heart's the best, you know. But you want to make a fun pocket.
Right.
You know, people are into like doing clouds and rainbows coming out of it or something.
Oh, well, there
that's
you go.
Cute. Okay, so the way we do this is we put our fabrics right sides together.
Hold on.
Okay, so just picture this. Okay, our fabrics are right sides together, but what we've done before we go to sew that is we've put a little buttonhole.
We put a buttonhole in either the lining or the side that's going to be sewn to against the garment. Right.
The side that won't show. And in this way, you get to sew around the whole shape.
The whole entire shape. You aren't leaving an opening to turn in.
Well, you did open your buttonhole.
Yeah. Well, you could probably open a buttonhole afterwards if you had to.
Maybe, yes, yes.
I probably have done that.
Yes.
Okay, I started doing this. You know how old I was when
I figured out
how to do this? Like 15.
Oh, yeah. You're so smart.
Well, okay. Because I was trying to copy a retail dress.
Yeah.
And we wore a lot. Oh, my gosh. I can't tell you how many cotton shirtwaist dress and shirtwaist shift dresses I wore in those days. I wish I was still wearing them. That was like so easy.
I want to make some of those when I'm not pregnant anymore.
So anyway, I went to the store and they had this pocket that was sort of like, it was ovalish, but it was only sewn like halfway up and then it flapped down.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, I can see that.
And here I am. I think I tried to make it two or three times, you know, and I was like, well, what edge am I going to turn this on? And I was like, why can't I just slit this pocket? And I was like, well, I don't want to slit my pocket. And I was like, I'll make a buttonhole.
Yeah.
And no one will ever know.
Right.
And from then on, when I had to turn a shape, and I, like, especially on a garment or something, you know, and I knew I still wanted it finished, is I would put a buttonhole in it. Now, this is really funny. The other thing you can do is you can put your change inside.
Inside the buttonhole.
Inside the buttonhole, and you won't lose it out of your pocket. Right.
Yeah, so just be, now, I do know some people, though, they'll put a little buttonhole, they'll turn it, and they will close the buttonhole.
Oh, I never did.
Yeah, some people will.
Yeah, I never did.
Evie taught a machine embroidery class where she did this, and she didn't have us do a buttonhole. She did just have us slit it, but that stuff was getting, like, appliqué down.
Well, I knew I could slit. Right.
I'm just saying, you know, that, so this is another example, though, where you're circumventing.
How do you think I cut out those pockets before I stitched them together?
You didn't.
You're right.
Yeah, you're
right. You're absolutely right. I traced them with a piece of tailor's chalk or a pencil even.
You're circumventing the normal order of operations.
Yeah.
That you think of. You think cut, sew, foot fit or whatever,
and
you know.
The thing is no one ever asked me when I was in junior high or high school if I made my clothes. And this is kind of funny nowadays because I've had people that I've gone to high school. Now, I've been out of high school 40 what years?
Millions.
Over 45.
40 million,
over 45. What is this?
2017.
46 years. 46 years, okay. And I've gone back to reunions because my husband and I graduated in the same class, so it's just fine
convenient
to go back to these. Yeah, it works out. And people will say, oh, I see you're sewing stuff. When did you start to sew?
Oh, that's funny.
And I'll say, I sewed all through junior high and high school. I made all my clothes. And they were like, you made your clothes? I said, almost all of them, yes.
Yeah.
I might buy like a cardigan sweater.
Uh-huh.
You know. I would buy a cardigan sweater, and then I would make a dress to go with it, or a skirt to go with it.
Mom doesn't knit, everybody.
Oh, no, I don't knit.
I knit. I knit mama things.
Now I knit.
I knit mama things. So anyway, yeah, I think, I don't know.
But they didn't know I sewed.
They didn't know you sewed. Yeah, you had good stuff.
It didn't look homemade.
I think this is some information I'm really glad we're sharing. I feel like we've kind of come across it. And actually, Lonnie, I was like, do you know the buttonhole trick? You made all those, you know, cool pockets. She's like, nope. And I was like, I got to share it, you know. So anyway, thank you so much for listening. I think we're all good
this.
What do you think? I mean, we covered scallops, the cool pockets.
Yeah, all about seams.
You know,
yeah.
All that. Yeah, seams, seam allowance, sturdy, sturdy seams.
You need those to stay together.
You guys come up with something for us.
Come up with some questions out of that.
Sometimes I just like, that's a ZD thing, you know? All right. Well, thanks so much for listening. You can email me at mallory@sewhere.com. Find us on Instagram or ZD Sewing Studio. And if you subscribe to this podcast in iTunes, if you could go through the grueling process of leaving us a review, that would be super. You have to search for the podcast. You have to find it, click on it. You will need to sign in with your Apple ID, and then you can say whatever the heck you want about us.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want about us.
Say you hate us. It's cool. All right.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.